it's very clear that you do have that ability to believe in yourself. Have you always had that?
When you feel sure and confident in yourself, you play that back to your team and you create the same sense of confidence in your team. They were helping us, okay, how can we understand unconscious bias better? And we looked at the content of the performance reviews and we saw the stark gender difference in the way that performance was assessed for women versus men. For women, there was a very clear view of you have to prove your worth. Whereas for male engineers, it was very much, you are already good. How can we get you to be better? So that was another factor for me in, okay, I see the data, I see the differences. Now, how can I work on myself so that I can be the best advocate for people? Humans love being productive. Humans love doing things and feeling productive. If we don't have that, it makes us very unhappy. It makes us miserable.
Pauline, thank you so much for coming on to the Career Confidence Podcast by Sisterhood Club. It's an absolute honor to have you on today. Before we dive into your journey and the amazing platform and business that you have founded, can we go back to the start of your career? Because I was on your LinkedIn profile earlier today when I was doing some research, and you've come from an incredible software engineering background. You've worked for some amazing companies, Canva being one of them. I actually interviewed the head of diversity at Canva recently on the podcast, and it was an incredible conversation. So can you take us back to your journey as an employee and then how you sort of got to where you are today? So over to you.
Thank you so much, Georgie. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you and chat about Midu and my journey into how we started Midu. So yeah, like you said, my background is software engineering and electronics. Actually, I did both hardware and software engineering. And looking for tech jobs brought me to Sydney from Brisbane. So I studied at UQ and then moved to Sydney. I actually worked at Atlassian for a couple of years as a software engineer, which was a huge learning experience at the time for me, understanding how to build scalable software and impact, you know, thousands and thousands of customers all over the world. That was an incredible experience at Atlassian. And then, yes, I joined Canva, which was still quite early back then. So I was one of the first 100 engineers at Canva. Canva was still about 200 people or so at the time. And besides working on software and building software, it was my time at Canva was a journey of self-discovery for me and growth for me as well. And that's where I got introduced to coaching. So often as an engineer, through not only your engineering studies, but also in the early days of your career, you very much focus on what you're building, thinking logically, being rational, etc. And you focus a bit less on yourself and what is it that I want and my own inner growth. So Canva was the turning point for me with that, where there's an internal coaching team at Canva and they support the company, everyone in the company with their inner growth. And that could be in any context. So when Canva was going through the hyper growth phase, I went from being an individual contributor engineer to leading a big group, over 100 people across the US, Philippines, and Australia in just a couple of years. So that was a huge amount of growth for me to go through. And coaching was the thing that was so transformational for me. I was able to see how incredibly powerful coaching can be. But at the same time, we were using a patchwork of, you know, emails back and forth and pen and paper and Google Docs to track that coaching journey, which meant that I was losing the value that I was accruing through the coaching process because of the lack of a dedicated integrated tool to support the process. That's where the idea for Midu started. After I left Canva, I spent some time working at a different startup, thinking on different ideas, and then started working on Midu full-time last year.
Incredible. And I can't wait to dive into Midu because it sounds like such a needed product in the marketplace right now. You and I are very passionate about the same thing, which is coaching, which is mentoring. I honestly wouldn't be where I am today without having coaches, without having mentors, without having people that I looked up to, that helped me, that asked me the right questions at the right time. So yeah, I really completely and utterly agree with you 100% about that coaching element and why it's so important. Can we just go back, because obviously there's a lot of women that listen to this podcast and men who are in the technical workforce right now. I'd love to sort of understand from your perspective, as especially as a woman. So you went into Atlassian, huge tech company, then Canva, another huge tech company, not as much at the time. What's your experiences been as a woman in technology? One of my passions is I would love to see more women enter this space. So can we start there? Because you've obviously had a very successful career then leading up to your entrepreneurial journey with Midoo. But just sort of looking back on your career, what are some lessons that you've learned from that? And if you were coaching a woman in technology right now, what advice would you have for her embarking on her career in tech?
Yeah. So looking back at my career, I think the first lesson is to believe in yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. That it's easy to say, but it's actually quite hard to do in practice, especially when you are a minority in an industry that's dominated by other people, essentially. My first experience of bias and unconscious bias and being treated differently also came around the same time that my career was also growing. So I noticed that when you start off as a junior engineer, you are more or less treated equally. You know, there's nothing much that's different. But things that unconscious bias that's in every single one of us becomes much more apparent when you start advancing your career and getting those promotions and looking for growth in your career. That's when it becomes a lot more pronounced. So I certainly experienced that over the years. So for instance, when I was a senior engineer working on leading a project many people were working on together, people would always assume that the male in the room, the man, was the lead, it is driven by unconscious bias, and in itself is just one example, but those kinds of things add up and add up and add up and accumulate to create this feeling that it's much harder for you to progress your career than it is for people who are not the minority in the group. But having said that, I think the other piece of advice, like believing in yourself, is the first one, but also there are a lot of people who are aware of that unconscious bias. There are a lot of people who go out of their way to make sure that they avoid the pitfalls that come with it and support people and encourage diversity in their teams. So I was fortunate enough to be able to work with people like that as well. And so the second piece of advice is to find those allies and to find the people who sponsor you. And to lean on them and ask them not only for advice, but also really look up to them to help you in that journey. And that's been hugely valuable for me. So that could take the form of someone senior in your own company, or it could be a coach that you work with to help you on that journey of not just self-discovery, but create the space for you to learn and grow as well, if that makes sense. So it's been just like everything in life, it hasn't been like a journey of amazing positives only. If that was the case, how do you know something is the positive, right? So it's been a bit of both, but I've tried to really focus on the positives and double down on the positives and lean on the people, senior people, to support me in that journey. And that's what's brought me here today.
Amazing. That is honestly, that's really, really solid advice. And it's interesting what you were saying about when you're just sort of starting out, you don't really experience as much bias. It's not until you start getting up the ranks that things start to really appear and the cracks in the company start to appear and the unconscious bias comes out. That's really, really interesting. It does fascinate me that, you know, we still have to have these conversations, but they are really important. And one thing that when you were sort of speaking then, and the way you communicate, it's very clear that you do have that ability to believe in yourself. Have you always had that? Or is that something that you have worked on over time? And is there anything in particular that you have done over the course of your career and your entrepreneurial journey that has led to that increase of self-belief? Is it something that, yeah, you were sort of naturally born with, or is it something that you've developed over time?
I think I've developed it a lot over time. I don't think I was just given that. I'm envious of people who have that gift quite naturally. I've had to work on it over time. And for me, I think the turning point was, during my time at Canva, I was one of the only, senior woman engineer in the company for a period of time. That's certainly changed now. And so the thing that shifted in my perspective was a lot of junior women engineers reaching out to me and I kept hearing the same point over and over again, in that they repeatedly felt that they were facing this bias in various different situations, and they felt like they had to fight against that bias. And it wasn't just one conversation or one engineer. It was tens of engineers saying exactly the same thing in independent discussion. So that really set the fire in me, to be an advocate for people in those positions. I think I have a very strong sort of, when I'm helping other people or when I can support other people, that really motivates me and drives me a lot. So I needed to learn how to be the best advocate for people in those positions. And so I made a conscious effort to learn to communicate and to learn to be more confident in the way that I speak. And the other lesson there for me was to bring balance to discussions. Often in discussions around diversity and the challenges that minorities and women face in tech, it becomes a polarizing conversation, and I don't think that's very productive. So I try very hard to bring balance to the conversation so that we can move forward. And the other thing, again, being an engineer, is being data-driven. I think one of the things that really enlightened me in a way was this company called Project F, founded by Emma Jones. They were helping us understand or paint the picture of, okay, how can we understand unconscious bias better? So we took all of the performance feedback from a couple of years, I think, anonymized it totally. So there was no context on who the performance review was about or who it was written by, apart from just gender. So there was just gender. And we looked at the content of the performance reviews, and we saw the stark gender difference in the way that performance was assessed for women versus men. For women, there was a very clear view of you have to prove your worth, whereas for male engineers, it was very much you are already good. How can we get you to be better sort of approach? And you could see it in the language that was used. So that was another factor for me in, okay, I see the data, I see the differences. Now, how can I work on myself so that I can be the best advocate for people?
Really interesting. And I think people listening to that right now, they might be experiencing something at the moment, or maybe if they're in the other camp and they are starting to realize, actually, maybe I do have a bit of unconscious bias. And I also just say to people as well, it doesn't make you a bad person. We all have it in some degree, but it's being aware of it, because once you're aware of it, you have the power to change it. It's when you're aware of it and then you choose not to change it, or you still behave in the way that you've always behaved, that's where I think the issue comes in. And that's where you really need to look at yourself and ask yourself some big questions of why you are behaving like that and where that does come from. But, you know, I think we're not going to change the narrative without these conversations, which is why I love having conversations like this on the podcast. So look, you've had an incredible career, and I really want to go into your entrepreneurial journey as well. But before we step into that, I just wanted to go into your role and your time when you were leading 100 people. That, to me, I'm like mind blown. I can barely manage myself in the morning, let alone a team of 100 people. So how did you go about that? Because I know there's a lot of people that listen to this that are in a leadership role, that are managing teams. What do you think makes a good team leader? And you know, what are some of the things that you learned through that journey that then enabled you to go on to start your own business? Because I think I can imagine that was quite a good foundation and platform when you learned a lot to then propel you to your entrepreneurial journey. So what did you learn through that process?
Yeah, I think that was my first real leadership experience in that real like rubber hits the road. It's a real experience. And I think I did some things well and I didn't do some things well. So there are lessons from both. I think in situations like the things that went well were often because I had heightened self-awareness. So where I was able to be more self-aware of myself and create that space between the input and reaction. So create the space between, instead of reacting, I respond. That's where the outcomes were great. For instance, helping people who were struggling with something. So team members who were struggling with either a piece of work or trying to navigate a personal challenge or a work, you know, interpersonal challenge at work. The moments where I was self-aware and I was able to create the space for myself to think and respond in the moment where we saw the best results, where people, my team, were able to overcome those challenges and move forward. And equally, in the moments where I couldn't do that, where I wasn't self-aware, you know, I was running between all these meetings and I didn't have the energy or the mental capacity to create that space to respond instead of react, was when we saw negative spiraling and things not only not getting better, but getting worse, which is really bad. So that was my number one learning as a leader. I think the energy that you bring, the way that you respond to tricky situations, can be the make or break thing for how your team and your group performs. So that was a hugely important lesson, to take care of myself first and bring that good and positive energy to the team in my interactions with them. But the second was also to encourage autonomy, to encourage people to make decisions, to not have to be involved in every single thing all the time. And that's quite hard sometimes, especially when you're a first-time leader. You want to have the best outcome possible, which means that you tend to kind of micromanage and have your finger in all the pies, and that's very counterproductive. So that was my second big lesson in encouraging autonomy. And the two are actually quite related, because when you feel sure and confident in yourself, you play that back to your team and you create the same sense of confidence in your team. Whereas if you don't feel that, then again, it spreads and amplifies through your team as well.
Oh, I absolutely love that. So just that pause before you respond is so powerful. I think we've all done it, myself included. We've just reacted in the moment. Something's happened and we've just gone pure reactive mode. We've maybe snapped or we've said something we didn't mean. So in those moments, applying self-awareness and going, I'm going to come back to you on that, or give me a day to figure that out, or just listening. I think that's the key piece that I've learned, is just not to just assume and jump in and overcut people. It's just sometimes listening is the most powerful thing you can do as a leader. I'll put my hand up to say I'm still working on that, because, you know, I do love a chat and I get a bit excited sometimes when I think I can solve the problem, and that's actually the worst thing you can do in a scenario. But again, applying self-awareness, I know that's something I'm working on, is just that ability to listen. And you said as well something that I'm also completely agree with you on. If you're not filling up your own cup every single day, you're going to have nothing left for everybody else, and then everybody else is just getting, you know, the overspill, which is never your best self. So as a leader, when you have got a lot of, you know, pressure on your shoulders, you've got a team to manage and all the things, how do you go about just making sure that you do show up as your best self every day? Do you have any sort of practices or habits that have personally worked for you over the last sort of few years?
Yeah, I think both of those points you just said there of listening and filling your cup, so important. And just, I'll come to your question in just a second, because I do want to re-emphasize that point around listening. Active listening is a hugely valuable skill for any leader. I would encourage everyone to practice that, because we're so scatterbrained now. Like, you know, there's all these devices and inputs and emails and notifications from everywhere. So being able to listen actively and pay attention is a superpower in these days. And I would strongly encourage every single person, whether you're a leader right now or not, to develop that skill. To your point around filling my cup, I think you're absolutely right. By the way, if you're not making the time and space to take care of yourself, everyone gets not the best part of yourself, and that's never great. So a few things is really we hear often about saying no to things. I try to look at it more as prioritizing. Be very conscious about prioritizing and focusing on these are the top things that I want to get done today. And those top things need to be the things that are moving the needle most towards whatever goal it is that you're working towards for your team, your group, your business, whatever that might be. So really being careful with prioritizing every single day and focusing on those priorities is one habit that I've developed over the last few years. And the second is really just taking care of your health and your body. I used to do this thing where I don't have time to go for a run because I need to get this thing done. And that's like compounding works in both ways. So if you slowly, consistently build up good habits, they compound in a positive way. And if you don't do them, the negativity or the negative things compound as well. So by missing activities that keep you healthy, that compounds, and then you end up in a really bad place where you just cannot contribute at all, and you just don't want to be in that place. So I've learned to shift my view on things like exercising, meditating, and eating healthy, investing in those as a way to encourage that positive compounding. And I've learned to shift my thinking around that. And instead of saying, running is a chore, no, this is my time. This hour is my time to just focus on myself, on my health. And doing this at the start of the day, it sets me up for the rest of the day. And then doing it every single day, it compounds and creates the best person that I can be. So yeah, shifting my thinking around my cup has been hugely powerful for me.
Yeah. I hope everyone's really taking note of that, because sometimes when our lives get so busy, it's easy to just, I can't run today. I can't get to the gym today. I can't meditate today. They're the days where prioritizing yourself, even if it's just for 20 minutes, matter the most. Because how good do you feel when you've gone for a run or you've done something for you? It just instantly gives you more energy. And I think this, there's a big sort of mistake that goes around, like, to be productive, you've got to be at your desk for 8 hours a day. You can't possibly be productive sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day. I know I can't. I need my breaks in between tasks. Like, even after this podcast, I will just walk around the block, get my mind in a different state again, and then going on to the next task. If I just went from one task to another task to another task without any breaks in between, I'm not showing up with each task as the best. Because as well, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is that, certain things need a different brain power. For example, when I'm podcasting, I'm very present. I'm very sort of in my creative zone. Whereas when I'm doing, say, business development and sales, I'm in that sort of more logical problem solving thinking mode, right? So it's almost like you need a gap in between different tasks to reset. But what I used to do in the past was just go, right, I'm so busy, one task, next task, next task. And I'd end up just not doing anything well. And I think that's kind of what tends to happen. And then especially when you're in a leadership role, or if you're a busy parent, everybody else gets what's left of you. So it's really, really important to make sure you do find that time to look after your mental and your physical well-being. Really, really critical, because if you don't, things start to really fall apart. And I can speak from experience on that. The one question I'd love to ask you as well, if you've got so much wisdom, I just want to like extract as much as I can from this conversation. When you were talking about your sort of leadership, and when you're working as the engineering lead at Canva, obviously the way of work has changed a lot over the last couple of years since COVID. There's the rise of remote work, hybrid working conditions. Autonomy is definitely something that I've always wanted to just give to everyone in my team. However, what I have sort of started to read and notice, and this is just from me speaking to a lot of clients, is that when we first started working from home, the productivity was there because everybody was like, right, you know, I'm working from home now. I want to prove this is, you know, this can work. And the productivity was really high. From speaking to a lot of clients over the last month, what seems to be the general opinion is that the productivity level has now dropped and people are leaving the office at 3 o'clock to go and walk their dogs or, you know, do things, or they're not coming in until 10 o'clock, or when they are coming in, they're not really dressed for work, or they're rocking up for Zoom meetings late. How would you approach that situation as a leader, as a business owner? You know, because I think we can give autonomy to people. When we give autonomy, we want to know and trust that things are getting done. But when that trust starts to be broken, or when people start to maybe, well, there's this thing called quiet quitting, which I just got my opinions on that. But when tasks aren't getting done, when you feel like your team aren't being productive, how would you handle that conversation? Because I do think this is something that a lot of the managers that I'm working with right now are really struggling with. So any thoughts, opinion on that? I know it's a really big question, but I feel you're going to give a really good answer. So thoughts.
I'll try my best. that's a really good point, actually. Something that I've seen a lot of conversations happening all over the internet and in person everywhere. So I think what's shifted is we used to have, as leaders, like as a people manager or a leader, we used to sort of have almost like a cookie cutter approach, you know, like this is what the expectations are of everyone in this kind of role. And this is what you need to do to get promoted and grow your career. I think that's what's been destroyed now because of the shift in how we work. And it's been a huge shift, right? It's been even 2 years ago, I couldn't imagine a world like we live in now. So it's a huge shift. So I think as leaders, we need to shift our thinking from that cookie cutter approach to a much more personalized approach, which interestingly is what coaching is all about. Coaching does not have any kind of cookie cutter approaches. It's very personalized. And it's very tailored to each individual. So that's what I would encourage leaders to do and to think in those ways. So for example, if there's someone who needs to walk their dog at 3 o'clock, if perhaps having a conversation around that not by saying you just cannot do that, that's unacceptable, but more that, hey, we noticed that your productivity isn't what it used to be or what it could be. How can we get you back on track? How can we encourage that growth? Does that mean that you might need to shift your working hours earlier or later, or have different types of breaks in between? What works for you? And creating the space for people to be able to do that. So going from I think we kind of went from cookie cutter to nothing at all. And now we need to find kind of a middle ground of a personalized approach that works for everybody. Because at our core, like just pairing it really back to first principles, humans love being productive. Humans love doing things and feeling productive. If we don't have that, it makes us very unhappy. It makes us miserable. So starting from that point, we know that that's in our nature. We love being productive and we love contributing. Starting from that point and then working to saying, okay, the reality of work has really shifted and shifted drastically. Now, what do we need to change in the way that we think about growth and career and productivity in order to support everyone in the way that they need support? And I don't think this is necessarily extremely hard to do. Coaches have been doing this for many, many years, decades. So I think it is absolutely possible to take that coaching approach and create a more personalized sense of productivity and growth for everyone in every company. And I think in general, discarding that cookie cutter thinking is great.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. Absolutely solid advice. I completely agree with everything you just said there. And yeah, that whole coaching approach is definitely what I think is needed, because we've gone from one extreme to another, and we need to now find that sort of that blend of both and that sort of, you know, middle ground, I guess, again, because I think, yeah, you're so right. When people don't feel like they're progressing and growing, that can lead to depression, anxiety, you know, feeling unfulfilled, like your life has got no meaning. Like, honestly, growth and progress do really equal happiness, in my personal opinion. When I feel like I'm growing and learning and developing, I definitely feel a sense of achievement and pride, and that makes me feel happy. You know, not everybody is maybe like that. Everyone's got different values, but I think 99% of humans, we like to feel that we are growing and that what we are doing day to day of our lives does have a meaning. So that leads me on beautifully now to your entrepreneurial journey with MeDo. Talk to me about how you transitioned from, I guess, employee to entrepreneur, because that's quite the transition. I've done it myself. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you go, oh, right, here I go. Who am I? Like, it's quite confronting sometimes. Like, I'm not going to just, you know, on the first of every month, a pay slip's going to hit my bank account. That's quite confronting to start with. You know, you've got to generate the business. You've got to, you know, make your own money. And I've been doing it now for the last 5 years. And don't get me wrong, there's some days where I go, God, I'd love to be on a salary today and just get that certainty of being paid at the end of the month. But it's been an amazing journey for myself. And I'd love to hear about your journey and also, I guess, where the idea came from. Love to hear more about MeDo and what you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that about your entrepreneurial journey as well. It is definitely that uncertainty is very scary. And as I was saying in the beginning, it started at Canva. So I think Canva really set me up as well as possible as any place for being a founder, because one was that hyper growth that we experienced, and Canva is still experiencing, I think, pushes your limits. Like, you really test your limit of what you thought you were capable of doing. And so you discover these new depths to yourself, to your skill, and to your own abilities, which was amazing. And also, there was a huge amount of autonomy at Canva, and I believe still is, which is incredible. I think they've done such a great job of creating an incredible culture of autonomy within the company. So for me, I felt empowered to take decisions and work with my team in a way that we felt like was appropriate for what we were doing. And we were able to move forward really quickly and hit our goals because of that autonomy. So I think having that really set me up to be a founder. And the third part of that was learning things beyond engineering. So I started off as an engineer, but I learned a huge amount about design and product and ops and just business in general. And so that was incredible. I don't think you tend to learn that much outside of your specialty in many other places. So I thought that was incredible. So I felt like Canva really set me up not only for my own inner development journey, but also my entrepreneurial founder journey as well. So very thankful for that. The idea for MeDo also started during my time at Canva, which was the first time that I experienced the power of coaching. So what I really wanted to do and what we're working towards with MeDo is to create a tool based on the best of technology that's available that unintrusively weaves itself into the coaching process. So we're not looking to replace the coach or replace the process of coaching. What we're looking to do is to really amplify the power of coaching. So we're building a tool which helps people reach new insights faster. So with the help of technology, they can get to new insights faster and thus reach new heights of development faster. And for coaches, what that allows them to do is to create better engagement and better retention of their coachees. And so they can help more people in less time. That's kind of in a gist what we're doing. And the journey from Canva being exposed to the power of coaching for the first time and then looking at, okay, how can we build tools for this process is what brought us here to Madhu today.
Amazing. What are some of the tools to keep the engagement going that you sort of found from your research? Because I think a lot of people, they get a coach and then, you know, they get that motivation for a period and then it sort of dies off. So how can we sort of stay motivated? And if you are a coach right now, how can you keep the, you know, your students and the people you are helping, how can you keep them engaged? How can you keep them on track? Because, you know, I have done my fair amount of coaching in the past, and I think different stages of life require different coaches. You know, I've had a coach for my health, I've had a coach for my fitness, I've had a coach for business, career, and they've all played their part. But what I guess when I reflect back, what I would have maybe liked is to sort of see, I don't know, a bit more progress over the course of the time, or my coach just say, look, when you started, this is sort of what we were discussing, and now look where you are. So I think, yeah, I understand the concept of what you're trying to create, but I'd love to dive into more of how the research and the sort of the technology behind it. I'd really like to sort of understand that.
Yeah, you actually described that really well. Being able to visualize and make that experience more tangible so that it's not just going back to my experience with coaching as well, I would have amazing coaching sessions and I knew I've made progress, but there was nowhere that I could point to and say, this is what that was, that progress was. So with Madhu, what we have is collaborative shared space that you share with your coach. So as a coach and a client, you access this shared space together. You can document your coaching notes together, your coaching discussions, whatever you like in there. So we encourage people to create a really rich feed of their coaching journey. And both the coach and the client can access this at any time, both from web and mobile, which means any insights that happen in between coaching sessions can be captured in that shared space. So you bring everything into the context of that coaching journey. And then you can set goals and actions for yourself, for your coaching journey, and track progress towards those. We take all of this content that's been put into this shared space, and then we visualize it in a couple of different ways. So we have a progress chart that actually shows your progress towards your goals and actions. You can also track your mood there, so adds an extra data point to how your coaching journey is going. And then we generate a mind map based on all of your content. So each mind map is personal to every coaching experience. What the mind map allows you to do is to look at that coaching journey from a bird's eye point of view and say, these were sort of the themes that we discussed. Here were the insights that came out from those themes, and this is how they're connected to the goals and actions. So it's a place to reinforce the learning. And for coaches, we have some extra features, which is around templating. So if as a coach, you tend to use a certain set of resources in a recurring way in your coaching, you can create templates around those and then bring that into that personal coaching journey very easily with a single click. So ultimately what we are helping coaches and coaches do is to create that rich context of the coaching experience and then visualize it so that it reinforces the learning and accelerates growth and amplifies the whole process.
Such a smart way of using technology. I really do love that idea. I think that, you know, the coaching industry is absolutely massive. You know, I think that, which is good and bad, because I think, you know, you get some amazing coaches and you get some not so good coaches, but, you know, that's a different subject for a different day. But, you know, I think the people out there that really want to coach for the right reasons, this could be such an incredible platform to really help people that they are coaching and helping to sort of go, look at how far you've come. And I think that would have actually have kept my engagement with my coach for a lot longer, because sometimes you can get in your own head and we are our own worst critics. You think, oh, I don't know if I'm really developing that much, or I don't know if I'm feeling any different. But actually, if you track it and it's measurable, then you sort of can see the results. And I guess that makes sense in my mind. It's almost like the game, like you're gamifying it, you're making it fun. You know, there's a reason why everyone wears an Apple Watch now, right? It's not just to tell the time, it's to track how much we've moved. And that is the way our society is moving into that technology focused world. Now, I'd love to sort of, I guess, dive into now that whole component, because there's not a moment that goes by when I'm sort of not like just scrolling some, you know, LinkedIn articles or, you know, looking at the news, where everybody is fear mongering around AI technology. You know, we're all going to lose our jobs, we're going to be obsolete, you know, the human race, we know it's going to be, you know, extinct. What's your thoughts on the way technology is moving? You've been in the industry for a long, long time now. I feel like you've got a good grasp of it. Do you think that we are moving too fast when it comes to AI and emerging technologies? Or do you think that with the right people, you know, found like you are co-founding projects and, you know, creating things, do you think that we could really build a fantastic future along using technology? What's your thoughts on the way the world is moving?
Yeah, I definitely think that the pace of change is accelerating. So the rate of change itself is accelerating. And that's why I think that focusing on our inner development is so important, because the answers to the world's biggest problems all start from inside of us. And if we cannot grow and change ourselves, then we can't create that kind of change in the world around us. So that's why I think with the rate of change accelerating, it's even more important that we focus inwards and go on that inner journey and grow ourselves. I just want to call out the Inner Development Goals org, which we align ourselves with at Madhu, because they are working on this broader mission of inner growth and development across the world. And one of the points, or the biggest point, is that we haven't made a lot of progress on the sustainable development goals because we lack the inner capacity to make the hard decisions and to do the hard work to get to those SDGs. So I think, with technology growing and accelerating, it's even more important that we focus inwards, focus on growing ourselves as well. And that's why I also think it's super important to have diverse voices in technology, because as technology grows and changes things so quickly, so do the unintended consequences of the technology. We saw that with social media, right? When it started, I still remember I was at uni. It was incredible, like the potential of social media or social networks, as we called them then, was incredible. And then we saw in the last decade, the way that it shifted and all the kind of social problems that it created and amplified, which were unintended consequences, and that wasn't so great. And it was disappointing even. So I think with the rate of change of technology accelerating, that those kind of unintended consequences are also going to accelerate. So again, that brings us back to self-awareness and inner growth, because we are the ones creating that technology. And we need to be self-aware and intentional about the effects that it has. But having said that, I also look back at history. I love history. And I imagine that the printing press had a similar sort of reaction from people, right? It was game-changing technology for the time. And people were fearful of it and scared of it, I imagine. The way that it turned out was that we were able to harness it and ride that and actually use it as a positive in the long run. And I think that will be the same for technology like AI. I think it's great that we're having those discussions now and not just letting them proliferate and cause those unintended consequences and then try to fix them later on. I think we seem to have learned some lessons, and it's great that we're having those discussions. But my view is that it's going to be a positive change. And I not just because of history, but also I believe that we are, you know, we're capable of so many more things, and AI is one more change or this rate of technology growth is just one more thing that's going to help us explore more, be better, and do more things.
That's the way I like to look at it. I'm always an optimist, and I hope that in the right hands, like you say, with diverse voices, with making sure we do get that gender balance as well in the room, I do think that technology could be an absolute force for good. I really do believe that. But it's making sure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands, or the same hands as, say, Web 2 has fallen into, and that we repeat these patterns of power, profit, greed. That's, I guess, the biggest concern. And I think that is a concern for many, but that is why these conversations, having yourself on the podcast today, making sure that we do get that diversity of voices and, you know, people out there doing things that are going to move society forward in a good way is really, really important. Pauline, I could honestly sit here, I think, for another 2 hours and just keep on picking your brains about things. I'd love to have you back on the podcast to hear more about the amazing work that you're doing with MeDo. But for those people that are maybe coaches or want to get into coaching, you know, profession, or people that want to find a coach, where can they go to find more about yourself, MeDo? Where can I send them?
Yes, our website is MeDo, MeDoo.life. You can also just Google MeDo and you'll find us. Our product is live. We love to get coaches to try our product, give us feedback, and really co-create it with us. So welcome everyone who is a coach or who's interested in coaching to either sign up and try it out yourself or book a demo. We'd love to jump on a call, demo the product, and get their thoughts as well. It was such a pleasure to chat to you as well, Jordi. I also feel like I could keep going, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I think there's been so much value in this podcast today. So I really appreciate you coming on, and I'll make sure we put all the links in the show notes below. So thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jordi. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.